Good morning again. Have I mentioned I miss Pastor Dan and Izzy? Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Mr. Jason. I'm glad you're here. If you notice, the text came from Matthew. And do you remember what text we're studying? Yes. Pastor Dan would be so proud. But this Matthew text is succinct compared to the Lucan verses. And it makes it easier to extract these salient words, key words and phrases. Number one, everyone who hears these words. And you would ask, what words? It's very difficult to just open your Bible and point to a verse, read it, and think that you're going to get the gist of what is being said. You have to read the verses before, you have to read the verses after. Sometimes it's better just to read the whole chapter. And believe it or not, the Gospel of Mark was meant to be read in its entirety at one time, beginning to end. So it's hard to just extract a line or two and think you're going to get everything from it. So the first question I would ask in reading this, everyone who hears these words, what words? Second, anyone who acts on these words or does these words. And I would say, how? Once I had to figure out what you're talking about and then figure out how to do it. And then it says, is wise. Question, in what respect? For my grandson, that's his favorite right now. What do you mean? Would you go sit at the table so you can start your dinner? What do you mean? Would you pick up your books from the floor and put it in your book sack? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do I mean? Some things are very obvious to us, but to other people, they're not as obvious. So we're asking in this script, what do you mean? What do you mean to be wise? So as we continue in our study of Luke, we find the same verses, the same story. Because remember, these gospels are synoptic. And if you remember, what are the synoptic gospels? Anybody knows? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The only one that is not is John. John has a different take on everything, but these others came from the same source. So a lot of the writings are the same. But in this verse, we can see that there are some differences. So I want you to hear now Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So my key words or phrases from the Luke text, similar. Jesus starts off, if I'm the authority, listen to me and do what I tell you. He almost sounds in this Luke chapter that he's scolding them, but he is exhorting them. He's urging them to do what he says. Listen to what I'm telling you. And he says, if you think that I am an authority, then act like I'm an authority. I think Pastor Dan said a week before last, something about Jesus speaking with authority. So it's said again here in these verses. And I wanted to just expound on that a little bit to let you know what that's like when a rabbi or a teacher would teach those who came to synagogue or temple. He would usually sit in a, if I had better knees, I would do it. But like this, straight down, like I always say Indian style, because that's the way I love to sit. But that's the way they would sit. And then they would begin to teach. It is written. And then they would go on. If you remember, even when Jesus was being tempted, he would start off by saying, it is written. And all of this has significance because when a man reached the age of 30, he was considered then trained. He could be a rabbi. He could go out into the world and teach. But Jesus was a little bit different. He started at that age of 30. He did all of the it is written with his temptations with the devil. But when he went out to speak to the crowds, it was what God said to him and through him, and he spoke with authority. He didn't begin, it is written. He just started teaching them. And they would ask them that question, who is this that he can teach with this authority? Not the authority of the scribes, but his own authority. They were the ones that called him Lord and Rabbi. And Jesus is saying, if you see me as the authority, then listen to me and do what I say. The next one is this parable or the illustration of obedience and wisdom. And number three, he says, one who comes to Jesus, one who hears his words, one who obeys his words, one who digs deep to ensure a strong foundation, one who lays their foundation of life upon Jesus, one who cannot be shaken, destroyed, or deterred from living life for God. I now present to you the wise builder. Yay. Kind of felt sorry for him at the end. Well, my home city is a bull. It's my point of reference. I always say something about it because that's who I am. That's where I came from. And I'd probably still be there if it wasn't for the hurricane that drove us out. But it's my point of reference, where each of us have our point of reference, our filters. It's what we have seen in our lives, what we have been taught, and it makes us who we are. And somewhere in there is where we learned about God and how God intervenes in our lives and how God interacts with us and our spirits. And if we are present for that, we can take that with us. And it too becomes our point of reference, seeing God in everything. So my home city is a bowl, B-O-W-L, bowl. It's called the Crescent City for a reason. Initially, it was swamp land, and the land's natural high point was the levee and its immediate surroundings. In order for the first settlers to call this marsh home, they had to figure out how to literally drain the swamp. Today, more than half the city remains lower than the ocean. New Orleans is a deepening bowl surrounded by water, which I love. I always love to go out and look at the lake and go up the levee and look at the river. And if you've never been to New Orleans, don't go to the French Quarter. Go see the city. Go to the lake. Go to the river. Those are the beautiful, beautiful spots I found in my life. But when my parents started their search for a home, they looked in the Carrollton area, not too far from the levee with the mighty Mississippi River on the other side. My sisters and I used to, during the summer, we used to take walks over to the river and go up the levee. And we thought since we had done that exercise, we could stop on the way back at Tasty Donuts. But anyway, it's a beautiful area. I wanted my parents to buy this cute little home in the Fountain Blow area. And I wanted to be able to say, I live in Carrollton in the Fountain Blow area. It just sounded nice, even to spell Fountain Blow in the New Orleans fashion. But it was farther from the levee. My mother, however, being the smart person that she was, told my dad that we were buying the house. They were buying the newly constructed home that was built on pilings, three blocks from the levee and the river. In that house, we went through Hurricane Betsy, Hurricane Camille, Hurricane Andrew, George, Ivan, Katrina. And that house remains unscathed to this day. The other house that I loved, it's kind of leaning. In San Antonio, we know what that looks like. But our little piling built home is flat and intact. In Jesus' day, it was easy for him to refer to the topography for this illustration, which was either rocky or sandy. The areas of sand were like the swamp and marshes of Louisiana, which some dried up during the summer heat. But when the rains came, these were the first areas to refill from the storms to their natural state of streams and rivers. So if someone was inspecting land on which to build a home, Jesus said, the wise man digs deep and keeps digging, waiting to hit rock. And there, he starts to build. He builds on a firm, solid foundation. And if someone was being introspective, looking inward, to build or rebuild the holy in us, the temple where Jesus longs to reside, Jesus said, the wise person digs deep. We want to hit rock bottom, so to speak, to dig our way up, away from our penchant for sinful and selfish behavior. The wise person needs to dig deep. I want us to think about that phrase, dig deep, two words. Because what happens when you dig deep? When you dig, what comes up? Nobody in here has a shovel? No one has ever dug? Dirt. When you dig deep, dirt comes up. Think about in our lives, if we're being introspective, we needing to dig deep and shovel off the dirt. We need to shovel off the dirt of being critical of other people. Now, you know, I said it's not best for us to just pull words out of a text. These words are at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Sermon on the Plain in Luke. But it's still Jesus' sermon where he went and folded his legs. And one, he sat on a boat and he taught the people. He's preaching to his people. He's preaching in Luke. He's talking to them in Matthew. Whoever is writing this sees Jesus as two different people. One who is very calm, you know, saying, this is what you should do. The other saying, this is what you should do. But they're both really Jesus. And he's telling us in this Lucan text, you need to shovel up all what is dirt or dirty. All in the Sermon on the Mount or the Plain. If you haven't read it, go back and read the whole thing. But he says, shovel off being critical of other people. Jesus said, look at the log in your eye before you try to remove the speck in your neighbor's eye. Be wise. He says we need to dig deep, shovel off the dirt of being judgmental. It's so easy to judge other people. I could have done that better. I don't know why they're doing it that way. I don't know why they're saying it. It just kind of rolls off the tongue. It's so easy for us to be judgmental. But he says, go with that shovel. Dig deep and get the dirt of being judgmental out from underneath there. He says, don't judge or condemn anyone, and you won't be condemned or judged. He says, we need to dig deep, shovel off the dirt of everything we think somebody has done to us, to offend us, to anger us, to belittle us, to shame us, and then hit rock bottom of forgiveness. You know, I used to live there. I hated everything about myself. And if anything you came to say to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's true, that's right, I'm this, I'm just very sensitive. Somewhere in my life, getting to this old age, I realized there is nothing you can tell me that would offend me, that would shame me, that will belittle me, because I am who I am. This is it. I know who I am. So there's nothing you could do. Someone said, I don't mean to offend you. You're not offending me. Whatever is coming out of your mouth is coming out of your mouth. I know who I am. But for the rest of us, we need to get to that point too, if you're not there. Because I'm sure there are a lot of you who are already there knowing who you are. And then it becomes very easy if somebody says something of this and they think that they may be offending or causing us anger, it's very easy to forgive. It's easy to forgive when you get to that place. We need to dig deep and then start planting seeds of goodness, shoveling off hate and jealousy and envy. Shovel off some of the mean words that's in our vocabulary that we may want to just get rid of. Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So if someone's mouth is saying something, you know what's in their heart. It's easy to come right out and say it and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. Own it. Own it. And then get to a point where you can dig deep and get rid of it. We need to dig deep until we hit the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. On Christ, the solid rock, I hope we all stand. Sometimes even when I say it, it makes me stand a little taller. I try. The solid rock. The rock is Jesus the Christ. From there, we learn to love. From there, we learn to love all, not just some. It's easy to love your kin. It's easy to love husband, wife, children, mom, dad. But bring someone else in and see if you can have that same emotion. Emote love for someone you don't know. Someone who's totally different. Is there any love left for that person? Jesus says, learn to love all. From there, we learn what is good and holy and what is right. There are some people who think what they're doing is right. There are some I heard who are doing tent revivals and singing holy songs as they're planning to kill people that are different from them. What Bible are they reading? What Jesus are they following? We can be different and have different thoughts, and we both assume that we are right. But the only one that is right is the one who is speaking the words of God, doing the words of God, obeying the words of God, acting out the words of God. From there, we learn what is good and holy and right, praising God from whom all blessings flow. It's not just a doxology. It's the words that we can repeat and let them be in our spirit. Praising God from whom all blessings of goodness flow and overflow, moving us to share that goodness of God with others. If you are overflowing with God's love and God's goodness, somebody else sees that, and they want a part of that. And whatever comes out of their mouths is going to reflect that. Don't be swayed otherwise. People tell you who they are as soon as they speak. From there, we encounter mercy and grace. And as God extends mercy and grace to us, we are then free to extend mercy and grace to others. How can we call ourselves children of God, saved by the Christ, freed of all of our sins, yet we can't extend that same freedom and offer of salvation to others? It becomes our responsibility to share that freedom and that responsibility of letting others know that that salvation exists for them as well. From rock bottom is where the children of the Most High live. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You're going down with the house. It's sinking sand. The wise builder begins the construction of the dwelling for Christ here. It begins in here, in the temple. Nothing can destroy this temple where Jesus lives. There's a Reverend Tripp Prince. He defines wisdom as the knowledge of God and a life lived for God. The knowledge of God and a life lived for God. Wise people build their faith on a solid foundation of God's word. We can't just have a word here and a word there and I'll open your book and point to a word and think that's going to take you throughout the week. It's not going to do it. Wise people build their faith on the solid foundation of God's word. That faith will stand strong against the storms of life. As I visit some Alzheimer's patients, I have observed many who cannot remember their own names. But it never fails what is built on the rock. I can begin, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And they can take it from there if it was built on the rock. "Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name." They can finish it if it was built on the rock. Alzheimer's patients who remember pretty much nothing, not even their name, but they remember what was built on the rock. It is what is deep down in the foundation. The temple that was built there is unshakable. It was built one brick at a time upon the pilings of Jesus' words. It was built on listening and obeying God's words. None of this is said to imply that we won't go through storms and challenges and difficulties and overbearing obstacles. We will. We will. Every one of us will. I say that I have gone through the fire and the flood. Many times I say it because I have literally gone through the fire when my house burned down. I've gone through the flood. I've lost everything, clothes, furniture, pictures of my children as babies. Lawrence's and our wedding photos, you know, everything gone. But I say it over and over, not to just be repetitious. I say it to give people hope, to let people know that there may be these struggles and storms and trials in your life, but you come through it. When people hear my story, I want them to see that I got through it. I went through to the other side. And here I stand on solid ground. All other ground is sinking sand. I didn't go down with the house. I didn't go down with the flood. All other ground is sinking sand. But on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I tell my story of hope and God's care and God's love because I want people to know that same hope is there for them. My hope is built on solid ground. And if our temple has not started to be built, start building. If it's already started, continue to build. Put some pilings in. Dig deep, get all the mess out. Dig deep, get the pilings in. A strong foundation. The word is in me, and the word can be born in all of us. Little by little, I'm planting the word in you. Last Sunday before last, as I quoted the one I love, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and I heard the rest of you say it, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name. That's one that we can take with us. If I become an Alzheimer's patient, if I can't see, hear anything, say those words to me. Even if I can't say them, just know that my spirit, just like the Magnificat, will be rejoicing in God, my Savior. Build the temple on a strong foundation, one brick at a time. Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. Today we come to Jesus. That was the first thing he said. Come to me. Come to Jesus. That's the beginning. And then dig deep. Repair your foundation if it needs to be repaired. Support it if it needs to be supported. Begin new construction if you need to start building. But it begins today. It begins here. It begins now. Hear the word. Obey the word. Become the word. Now that's being wise. That's being wise. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. I have a prayer I wanted to pray for you. It's out of Colossians. It's the first chapter, verses 9 through 10, and I love just praying scripture. So hear this prayer. We ask, dear God, that you give us all complete knowledge of God's will and to give us spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to God as we bear fruit in every good work and as we grow in the knowledge of God. Amen.